In John chapter 4 and verse 27, the Bible says this: "And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" The early education of the apostles was one that would dispel many of the taboos of the past. While it would be some time before they could fully appreciate who Jesus was, one thing was becoming very evident to them, and that is the fact that the rules had changed and changed forever. An illustration of that is the fact that Jesus sat and openly spoke with this woman by the well, and not just with a woman, but with a Samaritan, no less. Lightfoot says, "There was one rabbinical precept which said, let no one talk with a woman in the street, no, not with his own wife. These apostles were astonished that the master would do so. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us so that when they returned, they were speechless. They didn't question him as to why he spoke to her, nor did they question her as to why she spoke to him. They were amazed at the things that they were seeing. They were amazed at the things that they were learning." Very briefly this evening, I want to talk to you about some lessons that these disciples had to learn. It's interesting to me. In John chapter 4, it's interesting to me that the Bible outlines for us three very important lessons that these men had to learn, and I think you and I need to learn as well. First of all is the fact that these men were seeing very quickly that there were some unexpected opportunities that would lay before them. In John chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water." Perhaps the Lord alone knew what would happen at the well, but the apostles obviously didn't. How could they know? How would they know that such a great and wonderful opportunity awaited them there? You know, today, the simple fact of the matter is, we never really know who's interested in the gospel of Christ. We never really know who is on the verge or who is eager to hear the gospel and to obey it. We today may preach to the religious and win the irreligious. We may discuss openly the Bible with the immoral and gain a moral man. We endeavor to keep our children and yet win their friends. I'm continually intrigued to meet folks, and as we discuss and talk about the church, every once in a while, I'm nosy enough to ask, how is it that you came to the church? How is it that you come to learn the truth? And it intrigues me that so often their reply begins by saying, do you remember so-and-so? Now, of course, they have to say, do you remember so-and-so? Because so-and-so is not among us anymore. So-and-so was once a faithful member of the church that obeyed the gospel, had been a good example, and these people had met them along the way, had learned the truth from them, and these folks then had obeyed the gospel, and now we're faithful to it. However, so-and-so is no longer among us. Somewhere along the way, they were infected by temptation, as we just heard. Somewhere along the way, they were infected by digression and apostasy, and they left the faith, and yet they leave behind somebody who loves the truth, somebody who obeyed the truth, somebody who desired to do what's right. You know, it's interesting to me today that with all the discussion that we hear and that we talk about of the debates and the false doctrines and the devil-inspired things that are sponsored among us, how it is that so often we gain somebody from the world or somebody from a denomination who can readily and easily see that those things are wrong, that they're sinful, that they were things that they once practiced in the denominations, but they don't want to have anything to do with it. However, brother so-and-so is ready to embrace it. Brother so-and-so is ready to have it. Brother so-and-so wants more than the Bible teaches, more than the Lord God of heaven authorizes, and therefore brother so-and-so is gone. But they're still with us. How is it? It's because we never really know who is ready, who is willing, or who desires to hear the truth. In Acts chapter 19, the Bible teaches us that Paul's preaching therefore was aimed at all who would hear. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 18, the scripture says, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Who knew that these people would obey the gospel? Who knew that these people would so eagerly and readily accept the truth and become such ardent supporters of the truth? Who knew that these people would be so willing to hear the truth of God's word and obey it? But you know what we often do? We often cut ourselves off from the good that could be done or that might be done by dismissing the opportunity. You know, I hear remarks today among us by folks who say, well, it doesn't do any good. We're spinning our wheels. It hasn't worked. It won't work. I don't think it's worthwhile. Let's do something else. Before we really know if there's interest in the gospel or not, before we really know whether somebody really would respond to that effort, to that work, to that preaching of God's word, we're too often ready to say, well, I don't really think it's worthwhile. You know what we do, brethren? We cut ourselves off from the opportunity to teach someone the truth of God's word. For these disciples, they were learning very quickly that there were untold opportunities that would lay before them. And I submit to you tonight, you and I today need to learn this same lesson. There are for us some great and wonderful opportunities if we're willing simply to pay attention. If we're willing simply to open our eyes and our hearts, if you will, to that opportunity to speak to somebody about the truth of God's word. Secondly, I note this too. These disciples were also very quickly learning that there were going to be some unexpected results to the work they did. In John chapter 4 and verse 39, the scripture says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" Who knew that so many folks would hear the truth of God's word simply by this woman sitting with Jesus at the well? Who knew that this woman, when she returned home, would tell everybody she met about Jesus and the difference he had made in her life? In verse 40, the scripture says, "So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word." Who knew? Who knew that by simply passing by this way, such great results could be had? Who knew that simply by coming this way, these people would respond so positively to the word of truth? Who knew that these folk could be so readily to hear the word of God and to believe who Jesus was? Today, my friends, I think you and I can readily agree that for us, quite certainly, there are unexpected results that lay before us. We never really know who might be influenced to become a Christian or the thing that could win them over. I think today of folks I've met across this country who obeyed the gospel, some of them by watching a television program sponsored by one of our congregations. They learned the truth. They began to correspond, began to learn from us the truth of God's word, and they became Christians. I think today of those who obeyed the gospel of Christ because they were working with someone who was a Christian. I finally think of a brother there at home who had a job for some time at a little old school there at home where he worked as over the maintenance and repair of that school. Along the way, he met some men. He was a good example of them. He tried to invite them to gospel meetings. He studied with them God's word. And the result is they obeyed the gospel. One of them married a Christian woman. They raised 2 fine children who are faithful to the Lord today. Who knew? Who knew that simply by being the good example that he could be and teaching somebody privately God's word as only he could, that they would obey the gospel of Christ? And who knew that they had become such a great part of the Lord's work in our home congregation? Nor do we appreciate the extent to which one conversion might go. One person may lead to a whole family. One person may lead to a whole congregation who, though are willing to hear the truth for the first time and obey that truth of God's word, we never really know, do we? I should never forget one time I was working with a congregation, and like we used to do quite a bit, but we decided there wasn't any point anymore, we'd knock doors. Before we'd have a gospel meeting on Saturday, we'd all gang up at the church house and we'd take flyers and we'd canvass the area and we'd pass out flyers for the meeting. We got there on this particular Saturday morning, and one of the key men of our congregation who was there when we planned the work wasn't there. And so I told the rest of the brethren, "Why don't y'all go on and pass out flyers, and I'll go find him and see what's going on." So I went out there and I saw Darrell. He was working on a transmission in the shop. And I walked in the door, and he was just elbow deep in grease, you know. And he looked at me with that sheepish little grin and said, "I guess I'm in trouble, aren't I?" I said, "Well, I don't know. Did you know what we were planning to do today?" "Well, yeah," he said. "Let me get cleaned up, and I'll go with you." So he cleaned up a little bit, and we started to leave. He got in the car with me. He said, "Let's go by the house and let me change, and I'll go on, and we'll take care of this." Right on. So we get to the house, and on the way I ask him a question. And let me ask you, I've been asking this question everywhere I go the last couple of years. What if you knew that the next person you talk to would obey the gospel of Christ? Would you take the chance to talk to them? What if you knew that the next door that you knocked on in one of these efforts that we allegedly don't believe anymore, somebody on the other side of that door would obey the gospel? I'm not talking about a good chance. 100% guarantee when they open the door, they're going to obey the gospel. Would you do it? What if you knew that entire family would obey the gospel? Would you do it? What if you knew a little boy in that house would grow up and preach the gospel? Would you take that opportunity? Would you take that chance? Or would you be convinced it doesn't work anymore? I'm indebted today to a number of gospel preachers who came to our town in 1980 in a summer much like this, when it was hotter than blue blazes, and they knocked doors, and they held a gospel meeting, and my family came back to the church. 30 miles away from their home, 30 miles from the nearest congregation, who knew? Let me tell you, brethren, we never really know the results that lay before us. We never really know what could happen simply by preaching the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Apostle Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. For us today, we do not know the results that lay before us. We do not know what good that could be done if we were simply willing to put our hands and our heart to the work. But I note this too, finally, with you. These disciples were very quickly learning that there was a work that was to be done, some of which was unexpected by them. In John chapter 4 and verse 36, the Bible says, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Soon they would enter into the region where John the Immerser had been preaching the gospel. Here they would reap the benefits of his labor. Sometimes they were going to be the reaper. They had to learn that. On the other hand, sometimes they were going to be the sower. There are times, my dear friends, when you and I are going to be the one who teaches someone for the first time the truth of God's word. Get this. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Understand tonight, sometimes you're going to be the sower. Sometimes by you, for the first time, some folks are going to learn the truth of God's word. Wonderful work. Let me let you in on a little secret. Not everybody that you study with is going to obey the gospel. Do you know that? Not everybody that you talk to is going to be willing to become a Christian. No shame in that. I get a little irritated sometimes at people who want to look down on a gospel meeting or proclaim a gospel meeting to be a failure because when we conducted a gospel meeting, we didn't baptize everybody in the country. No failure in that. If the truth of God's word was preached, if the gospel of Jesus Christ was declared to success, God's word will not return unto him void. What we need to do is preach the gospel. Now, if we held a week-long set of lectures that talked about everything but the gospel, that quoted everything under the sun except the Bible, I might agree, that's a failure. But not if we preach the truth of God's word. Sometimes you're going to be the sower. On the other hand, sometimes you're going to be the reaper. You know, a preacher a few years ago told me, I think we could convert or baptize more people than we do if we would just ask. You know, sometimes we're a little timid. We're a little shy about it. I got to thinking about that. And rolling that around in my mind, I was holding a meeting off in Kentucky one year. There was a young man who had been coming every night of the meeting, and great young man, impressive young man. His brother and sister-in-law had a child, and they had to go out of town for some reason, and they left that child in his charge. Here was a young man, 20, 21, right along in there. He brought that child to service every night. I was greatly impressed with him. Well, I thought, you know, I'm just going to ask him if he'd like to become a Christian. All he can do is say no. I mean, you can't eat me. All he can do is say no. Well, I kind of warmed up to him, you know, visited a little bit. And we had Sunday dinner, of course, and I was just kind of eyeballing him and waiting for that opportunity. In a few minutes, he got up and started off to his car, and I thought, this is it. I dropped my chocolate cake, and after him I went. Got outside there to the parking lot, and I said, let me ask you something. How long have you been coming to church here? He said, off and on, about 2 years. I said, would you like to be baptized? And he said, no. There I am. Got all my fingers and toes. All he could do was say no. You know, we went back to the church house, had services, extended the invitation. Here he come, walking up the aisle. I'm kind of confused. I sat down with him. I say, can we help you? He said, I'd like to be baptized. I need to be baptized. Let me encourage you, friends. Sometimes people know what they need to know, but they don't know it. So let me encourage you. If you know somebody who knows what they need to know, and you know what they need to know, but they don't know it, just ask them. Isn't it about time? Wouldn't you like to become a Christian? The apostle puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every one shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Notice this too as we close. The church would grow then and will grow today because of the work that gets done. Now let me encourage you today to not waste your time looking for some great, wonderful work to do for the church. Look for something that you can do for the church. You know, every once in a while we do that, don't we? We look for something big. We look for something global. We look for something worldwide. We look for something we can do that'll reach all the world. What about where we live? Now, I'm not opposed to foreign work. I'm not opposed to sending preachers and supporting them in that work and supporting preachers in foreign lands. But I'll tell you this, brethren, I do worry sometime about these churches who've been supporting foreign works for 30 or 40 years, and they're drying up on the vine, and they're dying out. I worry about the fact that we close the doors in church houses when brethren can't meet there anymore because work wasn't getting done there. Churches remain. The gospel spreads. Churches are established because of the work that gets done in our local area. So let me encourage you today. Don't look for something great and wonderful to do for the church. Look for something that you can do for your church. Look for something you can do for your home congregation. I'll guarantee you, if you'll open your eyes and if you'll look close enough, you'll find out that there are a lot of things that are being left on that could be done. There are a lot of things being left off that you can do. There are a lot of things that need to be attended to, and you can be the very one who makes the difference. You see, these disciples were going to learn very quickly that there was a great and wonderful work to be done. The result is the kingdom would grow. It would spread from city to city and country to country and century to century until today you and I have the word of truth to live by, to love, and to preach ourselves. And so here's my conclusion. The lessons of John chapter 4 should fuel us as well to preach the gospel of Christ. Who knows what opportunities will come to you tomorrow? Who knows what results you'll see? And who knows what great work you can do in your home congregation that'll cause the brethren to be strengthened and cause the truth of God's word to flourish again in your home church?